Well, good morning for those watching and listening online. Thank you so much for taking the time to do that. So you'll notice my shirt. We're continuing group link this Sunday as well. And so if you're watching online, maybe you're listening to the podcast, if you're interested in stepping into a group, we would love to help you with that. If you just head over to southridge.us/connect, we will help you get plugged into a group. We're starting a brand new series called Uncomfortable, and I know there's some things that make you uncomfortable and maybe make those around you uncomfortable, and we're going to be talking about one of those things over the next couple of weeks. When I was in high school back in the 1900s, when phones had cords and they were attached to the wall, I had a friend come over for a sleepover, and he and I had been friends all throughout high school, and he saw a Bible on our end table, and that was the one we used for family devotionals at night, typically. And so he begins asking me questions about the Bible and about God, about Jesus, and how it all worked. And we started talking, and you're not going to believe it. Eventually, I had this incredible moment of praying with him as he accepted Christ as a Savior. Like, just two high school guys just kind of figuring out in the middle of the night eternity. Like, it was a really cool opportunity and something I will never forget. Now, naturally, the next step was to invite him and bring him to church, and let's just say that did not go well. We went through one of those churches where it was turn or burn. They were very judgmental based on what people wore. It was one of those churches where we would sing the chorus of Just As I Am 15, 16, 17 times until someone would come forward. We would have the pastor typically say something like this: I know there's one person. I know there's one person here that doesn't know Christ, and this is your opportunity. Don't leave here today without knowing Christ. And I mean, a couple of us teenagers, we were kind of joking in the back. We're thinking, okay, listen, dude, you go this time because we got to get back home. We got a football game started. Like, just, I know you've been saved 16 times, but just go up and then we'll get home. So we leave, and this is what my friend tells me. He says, dude, I don't get it. You don't act nothing like those people. So how do you come from a church like that? And there is something that happened, because in that moment, man, it really wrecked me. Like, it took me years to invite someone else to church. And it was a different church. And not because I didn't love Jesus, and not because I didn't believe about the resurrection and I could defend my faith. Like, it wasn't anything to do with that. It was because I was afraid church would undo the work Jesus had started in their life. And look, I get it. Like, some of us, man, we aren't afraid to talk about Jesus. We're not afraid to talk about the resurrection. We'll talk about it in Starbucks, at the DMV, at the drive-thru. Like, we invite someone to church, it's a whole different story. Talk about Jesus all day long. But inviting someone to church, man, that's a whole nother level of vulnerability. Because I've been there. I've lived it. I mean, I've literally watched a friend come to know Christ in my living room and then watched a church service undo it in 75 minutes. He walked out more disillusioned than when he walked in. And when he told me that, this is what I thought. Is this, if this is what church does to people, why would I ever invite someone again? And it took me years to try again. And some of you get that, right? Maybe you've experienced the judgment, the politics, the weirdness, the clicks, maybe the subtle sense of, hey, you just don't belong here. Now, anytime the Holy Spirit whispers, invite them, right, we start sweating. We start, I don't know. And we start thinking things like this: what if church makes it worse? Others of us, it's not fear, it's fatigue. It's not church trauma, it's just, our life is so busy. Maybe you're chasing kids. Maybe you're chasing deadlines. Maybe you're just trying to catch up on some sleep, and you've thought, man, I'm not even sure I'm going to make it to church this Sunday. Why would I bring someone with me? But maybe for you, it's about comfort. Like, your faith is real, but we've just been so cozy in this Christian bubble. We've got our people. We've got our row. We got our rhythm. Invite someone new to this? No, man, we don't want to mess with the dynamics. Or maybe if we're being real, you're not even sure you want your friend to know the full unfiltered version of church. And maybe you're thinking, what if Sunday they talk about money. Like, what's going to come out of his mouth this Sunday? Like, what if the music's off? What if this Sunday is just not a home run? And here's the thing, like if we're honest, underneath all of those reasons, I believe there's a single truth we don't like to admit, and that truth is this, that we want Jesus to be shared, but we want someone else to do the sharing. Have you ever considered that tension, that uncomfortable feeling, right? What if it isn't a sign that you're doing something wrong, but what if it's a sign that you're actually stepping closer to something God is already doing? What if all this fear and hesitation and doubt is actually the enemy's last defense before a breakthrough? So we're going to start reading from John's biography of Jesus this morning. And in the New Testament, it kicks off with four biographies of Jesus. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are very similar in nature. And then you have John. It's almost like John writes from a different perspective, a different angle. And we're going to read a story that we don't see in the other ones. There's a story of Philip being called by Jesus to follow him. And then he goes out and says, listen, Nathaniel, I want you to come and see what just changed my life. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said, follow me. Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "Then listen, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph." "Nazareth, can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. And this is what Philip told him, "Come and see." See, it's clear about one thing about invitations. Invitations don't require explanations. When Jesus invited Philip, it just says, follow. He just said, follow me. And when Philip wanted Nathanael to experience the change that he experienced, he just said, come and see. See, invitations don't require explanations. Philip doesn't break down the Torah. He doesn't go, well, technically, Jesus wasn't born in Nazareth, so let me explain the whole Bethlehem prophecy real quick. Like, Philip didn't have a sermon. There was no debate. There was no sales pitch. All it was come and see. And sometimes we think that we have to defend Jesus before we invite others to follow him. Jesus doesn't need a lawyer. He wants us to be a witness. Like, we don't have to impress people into the kingdom. We just invite them to come and see. The power of sharing our faith isn't in our polish. It's in our proximity to Jesus. See, Philip had been around Jesus long enough to know if Nathanael meets him, that's going to be enough for him because he's going to change his life. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said to him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there's no deceit." He says, "How do you know me?" And Jesus said, "I saw you while you're still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Here's what John's implying without even writing it. God is working before we show up and speak. Before we show up and say, come and see, God's already at work. And that verse ought to knock the wind out of us because Jesus wasn't surprised that Nathanael showed up because he saw him before the invite was ever made. You remember your fig tree moment? You remember what was going on in your life before someone said, hey, why don't you come and see what's changed my life? Why don't you come to church with me? Why don't you come and sit with me? Or maybe someone's just flat out shared the gospel with you. Do you remember what was going on before that moment? God was working. Guys, it's really important that we remember that we are not the beginning of anyone's spiritual story. You and I, we're just a comma in what God's already writing. And there's a lot that we don't know behind the scenes with God. Like, he's moving in the unseen realm, in the spiritual realm, before our obedience to invite in the physical realm. And here's the truth. Like, we're not initiating, we're just intersecting. Because I'll be completely honest and transparent with you. There is more going on in the spiritual realm, the realm that we cannot see, than what's happening in the physical realm. Maybe for you, it was like God was saying, I saw you before you ever clicked on that live stream. I saw you in that break room when you whispered that desperate prayer. I saw you in the car after the doctor gave you the news. I saw you before the invite, before the conversation, before you even knew my name, I saw you. And I really believe this takes the pressure off. Like, sharing our faith isn't about creating something from scratch. It's showing up to a conversation God already started with that person. The moment that I shared the truth about Jesus' death and resurrection with my friend, man, I thought that I was bringing Jesus into the picture. The truth is that God was already working in my friend's mind before I answered his questions. Then notice what happens. Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi," like, okay, I'm switching rabbis now. "You are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." It only took one simple step from Philip to invite Nathanael to come and see, and it changed everything for Nathanael. He went from a skeptical insult, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" to a full-blown declaration of faith, "You are the Son of God. You are who we've been praying for." All because Philip said, "Come and see." Philip didn't change Nathanael's life. Jesus did. And the whole passage is proof that the gospel isn't fragile. The good news about Jesus is not fragile. The invitation isn't on your shoulders alone. Jesus doesn't need you and I to be impressive. He just asks you and I to be available. Like, imagine this moment for Nathanael. He, like many of his people, they were praying for God's Messiah to come, God's final and forever King, to make all things new, to come in his lifetime. And because he said yes to Philip's invite, he had a conversation with Jesus that changed the rest of his life. Maybe you've been praying. Maybe you've been praying for something to change. A change in your relationship status, a change in your marriage, a change in your mental health, a change in your finances, a change in your health, a change maybe in your purpose. And you don't even know it yet. But God's already in motion. And you think that your moment is coming in the future, but it may have already started under your own fig tree. And the story continues. Jesus said, "Listen, Nathanael, look, you believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You haven't seen anything yet. You will see greater things than that. Verily, truly, I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Maybe Nathanael in this moment thinks like, okay, I've seen it all. Like, I've had my big moment. My prayers have been answered that I met the Messiah, and he's invited me to follow him. Like, this can't get any better than that. And Jesus tells him, "Listen, man, I'm inviting you into something long-term." And Jesus refers to this very familiar story for Nathanael all the way back in Genesis. In Genesis 28, Jacob, the grandson of Abraham, dreams of this ladder reaching into heaven. Angels are ascending and descending on that ladder. And that ladder was the bridge between heaven and earth. Jesus is telling Nathanael, "I am that bridge. I'm inviting you, Nathanael, in by letting you know that your location under the fig tree, man, it was just the start. This is about me, Jesus, being the connection between heaven and earth." And Jesus was not there to impress Nathanael. He was there to remake him. And guys, that's true for us. When we invite someone to come and see, we're not inviting someone to just an hour-long church service. We're inviting them into the front row seat to the activity of heaven. Mark Bailey once said this, quote, "Biblical faith never ends with knowing something. It always leads to following someone," end quote. What if someone you know is right under their own fig tree, ready for hope, waiting for an answer, and you're the Philip God wants to send? See, this is what we're calling people into. This is what we're inviting people into, not attendance, not changing their behavior. We're just inviting people to come and see how Jesus changed us, and we want the same for them. It's that moment where heaven opens and they realize that Jesus isn't just this historical figure. He is their only hope in this life and after death. So the next time that we're standing in the discomfort, or whether we want to invite or not, we need to remember that Philip had no idea what Nathanael would see. He just knew who he was bringing him to. And then Jesus promised him, "You're going to see heaven open." See, that's what's on the other side of invitation. Are you willing to push past the uncomfortableness to offer it? The question isn't, is God doing something? It is, are you willing to be part of it? Are you willing to be part of it? And I get the hesitation. Like, I still have the memory of that night in high school. Like, my friend encountered Jesus in my living room only to walk into a church that didn't look anything like the Savior he just met. And that story and that moment just didn't wound me. It wounded him. And it made me hesitant for years. And not to share Jesus, man, that was easy. But to invite people to church, man, that felt risky. That felt uncomfortable. But maybe you're there too. Maybe you love Jesus, but you're just not sure the church can carry the weight of that invitation. And maybe it's not fear of disappointment. Maybe it's just plain discomfort. Like, you don't want awkward. You don't want to be the church person. You don't want to disrupt the peace that you worked so hard to build. But remember, Philip had no script. He had no backup plan. He had no seminary degree. He had one thing, a relationship with Jesus, and that was enough. If you are a follower of Jesus, you've got that too. So who's your Nathanael? Who's that person who knows you, who respects you, maybe even trusts you, but still hasn't seen what you've seen? Who's the person who might be sitting under that fig tree right now, quietly wondering if anything good could come out of church, out of faith, or Jesus? And guys, here's the truth. And here's something I've learned as I've spent the last 20 years now inviting people to church. You're not responsible for their response. You're just responsible for the invitation. Guys, what's more awkward, inviting your neighbor to church or explaining to Jesus why you never did? And let's not talk ourselves out of obedience. Let's not miss a miracle because we wanted to avoid awkward. Let's do what someone else did for us. Let's be a Philip for a Nathanael. Let's say the words that can change someone's eternity. Come and see. What if this week you texted one name, just one, just not a sermon, not a strategy, just a simple, "Hey, I'd love for you to come to church with me." No pressure, just come and see. I think you'd really connect with the series we're doing. Want to come sit with me this Sunday? What if everyone in our church brought one person, just one, before Christmas? Just imagine, what if every person under their own fig tree right now had a Philip show up in their story? What if by the end of this fall, as we head into Christmas season, our lobby is full of people who would say, "I didn't know something could come from church, but I know Jesus, and everything's different." Guys, we're not trying to fill seats. We're just trying to have people have a front row to see heaven open. I'll never forget that moment in high school when I felt that sting of embarrassment. And not because of Jesus, but because of the local church. And it took me years to risk inviting someone else again. But you know what I've learned? The risk is always worth it, because you and I are not inviting them to a perfect experience. We're inviting them to meet a perfect Savior. All right, there's three questions I want to ask. First, who is your Nathanael? Number two, what's really stopping you from inviting them? And number three, when was the last time you said yes to something uncomfortable because you believed God was already at work? Well, I would love to pray for you. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to talk about some things that might be a little uncomfortable for us. Father, we're so thankful for this story. We recognize that we can be a Philip to a Nathaniel. And Father, I ask that you would allow us, no matter where we are this upcoming week, this upcoming month, that there are people in our lives that are under a fig tree wondering if there's more to this life, wondering if there's something better than the world has offered them. So Father, I ask that we would be listening when the Holy Spirit says, invite them. That not only would we be listening, but we would be obedient. The fact is that, God, you've taken all the pressure off of us. Because this isn't just inviting them to a perfect environment. No, 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 because there's no environment that's perfect. But we are inviting them to someone that's perfect, and that's Jesus. And he does the changing. He does the life change. So, Father, I ask right now that we would be obedient to you. In Jesus' name, amen.